Say, guys, by the way, how was the Wuxian Festival?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 418, the Wuxian Festival. One example of how the Wuxian Festival went is that we didn't have time to actually record this podcast while we were there. It was crazy.
Yes, it was crazy and fascinating and wonderful and exhausting all in one.
And jet laggy.
And an adventure, overall an adventure.
I feel like I didn't get to participate in much of it because I had just had that pin pulled out of my toe the day before I left. And then I was in that boot trying to walk around this ancient Chinese city with stone paths. I was just limping everywhere, and I was seriously on drugs. And I just don't feel like I had a great sense of the festival, except that it was awesome, and we were well looked after, and there was a ton of cool stuff.
Let Allie and I explain to you what happened while you were lying in your room.
Yes, would you?
What actually happened?
Yes, what actually did happen? First of all, you described Wuxian. It's described online as an ancient 1,500-year-old water city of Wuxian. You described it as kind of
it's like a Chinese version of Colonial Williamsburg.
That's it.
It's a truly ancient city.
Yeah.
But it had been fallen into disrepair, and I think parts of it had been destroyed during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Mm-hmm. And so, if I remember correctly, 40% of it was restored and 60% of it had to kind of be recreated. But there's all these canals around the city with, big flagstone walkways and stone bridges and pagodas. Now, it's not like Williamsburg in that people aren't dressed up in costumes of hundreds of years ago.
Right.
But
right.
It's a tourist area. There's no cars. I don't think there were any bicycles.
Right.
It's boats and walking, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It's about, what did we say, 90 miles from Shanghai? We flew into Shanghai.
Yeah, I think it's about...
About 90 miles in traffic. It was 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Right. And the reason we were there is that the artistic director of the Wuxian Festival is Stan Lai, who was a graduate student at University of California, Berkeley, when Reed, you and I were in the drama department there as undergrads. And he has become huge.
He's the same size he always was. He doesn't look any older, much like you and I. We haven't changed a bit since 1980.
But he's now the dictator of China or something, right? Something like that? He's something really big.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say the dictator
the
of China.
Something?
I would say he is the most important practitioner of American Western-style theater in China and Taiwan, I think.
No, that does sound right. And he's kind of well-regarded in this country for the same reason. One of his plays that I think he wrote in the 80s, he's going to direct up at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in 2015.
Yeah. No, he and his wife, Nai Chu, run the festival, and so had contacted us last March when we were performing at Laguna Playhouse and said, Shakespeare is the theme of this year's festival for the 350th anniversary of his birth, or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
And so we said, I had no expectations. I didn't expect that it was going to be good. I didn't expect it was going to be bad. I just really had no idea. I knew they were going to use subtitles on televisions on either side of the stage. And the only other time we'd done that was in Japan, and it really didn't work. There was no reaction to the show.
Right.
That was not the case at the Wuxian Festival. People loved the show.
Well, and we've played Hong Kong before, but that's a different animal. I mean, there's a lot of Western expats in London, not so many in Wuxian.
In Hong Kong, you mean?
I mean, thank you. No,
there's a lot of expats in Hong Kong. As a former English colony, English is widely spoken. Well, it's not widely spoken in China. But it was a study in contrast. Landing at the Shanghai airport, you would never see a more modern, new airport.
Very Western, very American looking.
Yeah.
And then you drive, 2 hours down the road. Austin's feeling ill on the drive from the airport,
which is
tiredness and surgery and the air pollution.
Yeah.
And then you get in Wuxian and suddenly, you feel like you've gone back several hundred years.
Right.
Clay tiles on the roofs and cobblestone streets. And then the canals went away because it was low tide.
And then it was an old-fashioned poster bed in my room with a kind of a sky
skylight in the room. I mean, it felt like a 1,500-year-old room, too, but it had a TV and it had a kettle and all, you know, all the mod cons. Yeah. You couldn't drink the water there. That was a thing that you also couldn't drink. You had to be careful of that kind of thing.
Well, Allie had been to the mainland before, so I kind of relied on her, but I think that was your recommendation, only drink bottled or boiled water.
Drink bottled or boiled, because I went for bottled, but it didn't make, you know, the click when you open the water bottle. Oh. And I got sick that night, so...
Chairman Mao's revenge.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, go for the bottled water that clicks when you open it.
But the other thing we discovered upon our arrival is the stuff of RSC legend. I think it's become legend already.
That's right.
Was that...
Well, we arrived, but...
And our trunks had arrived in China long before us. I think they arrived 10 or 11 days before the festival in Shanghai. However, they did not clear customs in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. So we arrived, and, well, Allie, you can tell the story.
Well, it started the night before we left America, because we were in Queens, New York, performing. We had a Sunday matinee.
Right.
That night after the matinee, Reed and Austin and I all flew back home to basically grab a different suitcase and sleep, you know, 3 or 4 hours and get on a plane again to go to China. And as we were sitting in LaGuardia, we got an email saying, what do we need to do to get your stuff through customs? And thought, what? Huh? What's going on? Stuff's been there for 12 days.
Right. Why are you asking now? Hello.
So emailed, you know, from our phones before we left LaGuardia, checked when we landed in San Francisco at 12:30, just after midnight. Reed was driving, so I was emailing frantically from my phone while we were driving north to Sonoma. Sent the scans of our carnet, which is kind of a merchandise passport, to get stuff through customs so we don't have to pay import when it comes home. And got to Reed's house where there was actual internet and emailed the spreadsheet from there and tried to sleep and not panic. And then started panicking again the next morning. And let's see, we finally arrived in China and they said, well, they might be clearing customs on Thursday. Now, our first show was Friday night. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, if they've cleared Thursday morning, we'll be fine because we have load-in on Thursday morning. Well, 10 a.m. Thursday, we got to the theater and were told it might be here by Friday morning, and looked at Jane, and we kind of looked at the stage manager there, Pony, who was fantastic, mm-hmm. And thought, well, that's not good enough. So let's go to shopping in Shanghai.
Mm. Now, at the same time, Dan Sasky, who was performing the show with you and I in China, are lifelong diehard San Francisco Giants fans, as is Stan Lai, because he was lived in the Bay Area for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And it's Game 7 of the World Series, which starts, I think, at 8 a.m. Wuzhen time.
Yeah.
So we're watching...
It's a 12-hour difference, I think, from the West Coast, I think.
Something like that.
15, excuse me.
Yeah. And so we're watching the game, and it's the ninth inning. The Giants are ahead, and I get a text from Jane. Will you come with me to Shanghai? But she didn't say any time. And I said, it's the ninth inning of the seventh game, and the Giants are winning. How about if I watch the end of the game? she said, okay. As it turns out, she wasn't planning to leave right that second anyway.
But still, I mean, and you mentioned Pony. The crew was fantastic. They were all, Pony and her team and the technical director, whose name I forget, they were all people who came up from Taiwan, which is where Stan also works and teaches.
Yeah, I think there's not so much of a tradition of Western theater in China. So, Stan and Naichu brought a bunch of people from Taiwan to sort of oversee the festival.
Yeah, they were fantastic, and I was told later that it was his technical director,
Michael,
that sounds right to me, said he started coming up with a list. Here's where you need to go in Shanghai to get the various bits and pieces, because we needed everything. We needed costumes, we needed props, we needed wigs,
beards. We needed a script.
Yes, the calling script was in the trunks and had not arrived, right?
Right. We needed music.
I had packed an extra set of CDs before I left home, thinking, if nothing else, we'll have music. Michael started making a list of, I got him a printout of what was on the carnet. Mm-hmm. So what area of Shanghai might have the right things so we could kind of hit this one area of town and not have to go all over the city. Because it takes a long time to drive around in China.
Well, and it's kind of a nightmare driving around Shanghai, wasn't it?
Yeah. You ever done a U-turn from three lanes over?
Wow.
In the dark, in the rain, with bicycles all around?
Wow.
I felt this hand creeping over my shoulder from the back seat, and it was Jane trying to hold my hand.
Now, Austin, you and I experienced something similar to this in 1993, 21 years before. I think we were performing in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
That sounds right.
And for some reason, the Shakespeare trunks didn't arrive. And so this was at a University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. So they went, I think, to their, somebody went to like Target or the equivalent.
Yeah.
And somebody went to the theater department's, you know, prop and costume thing. And they pulled a bunch of stuff. I remember trying to do sword fights with broadswords. We're used to sort of like foils.
Yeah.
It was just, it was a nightmare, but we got through it.
It was like, those old, like Rob Roy or something. You know, it was just, you know, you can't use the broadswords with, I mean, the foils with your wrists. You have to use both arms and all your shoulders to throw the broadswords against each other. I think Adam and I went to, I think, the prop shop of the school. Mm-hmm. And just said, okay, there's a crown, there's a mug, there's a goblet, there's a sword. Oh my God, this is heavy.
Yeah.
Grab it. Why is it always the Shakespeare show that this happens to?
I don't know. Hi, everybody. I'm Stan Lai, the artistic director of the Uzen Theater Festival in China, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You have two more weeks to see us perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company in Mill Valley, California, and one more chance to see us perform The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Maryland this Saturday night. Then, starting in January 2015, you will have 5 months to see us perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged in 70 cities across the UK and Ireland. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to Reed Martin, Ali Bosstad, and I talking about our experience at the Wuzhen Festival 6 weeks ago in October, November of 2014. We were just talking about Ali and our general manager and Reed's wife, Jane Martin, heading off to Shanghai to find replacement props and costumes because our regular props and costumes hadn't cleared customs.
But you guys did a great job. I mean, the costumes, we looked a little more piratey than Shakespearean.
And opera company, yeah.
Well, the rental place we finally found, it ended up being about 9:30 at night when we got to the rental place, I think was like Chinese opera rental stuff.
Okay.
Well. There were the, you know, the animal suits that walk around in parades. Mm-hmm. There were some Chinese dragon type. But then there were the embroidered robes with flowers and tassels, and I'm asking for a dress to fit Reed Martin, and they brought one to fit me. And Reed and I aren't the same size.
Close, but no.
Did you and Jane split up? Did you guys have one big van that you went into? How did that all work?
We were eventually picked up in Wuchen by a man with a minivan. Okay. We found him. He was in the wrong part of the water resort town. Mm. There's two sides, and each one has two doors, so it took a while for him to find us. Mm. And we had two friends with us. We had Jenny, whose English was very, very good. Mm. And we had Ling, who has been shopping in Shanghai before. And Ling is Michael's assistant.
Got it.
So we just we went first to the street market shopping district in near the temple in Shanghai. And it was great. Jane and I could walk into a shop and say, we want that, and the girls would haggle for us.
Right, haggling is a thing. That's right.
Because you can't just pay what's on the tag, because that's not how they work.
Right.
So we'd talk us down, you know, give a price and work your way up a little bit, but not too much, and walk away.
We have a show. I don't want to haggle. Yeah. It's
no,
like
I have a
Brian.
Show in 24 hours. I can't do this.
That was one of the nice things about the shops in Wuxian, because it's geared for tourists. There are signs that say, no haggling.
Yeah.
You know.
That was nice.
Yeah.
But in the shops, you know, the first place we found was this dinosaur, and you've seen the Shakespeare show. He's called Rex the Dinosaur, but basically he looks like Godzilla.
Yeah.
And he does a little dance on stage.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we couldn't find one of those in our shop, but we found a little plastic, I think it was a brontosaurus, that laid an egg. But the eggs were missing, so they gave us half price on him.
Half price, wow.
But then by the time we got around to showtime, he didn't turn on anymore. Mm. But he was great. He spun and he had bright flashing lights and he made a roaring sound and little bells.
He was quite the hit in that moment that requires that moment, yeah.
I do have a video of it on my phone, but he never made it into the show functional.
Do you have pictures of some of the costumes that you came up with? Because the costume for the king was fantastic. He had this baseball cap on that had a crown on it with a K, and that Dan kind of wore sideways, and then he had this big old... And
didn't it say king?
Oh, it said king. All right, not even a K, just it said king. And he had this big old robe that, and you know, he was one large clock on a chain around his neck away from being Flava Flav. I mean, it was such a hip-hop look.
It was the stereotypical king, you know, the red velvet with the, well, it was fake ermine, but the collar.
Yeah.
That was from the costume rental shop.
Okay.
We had to give that back, which is a bummer.
Well, and so then, you know, all that stuff arrived. Was it Friday? Yeah.
You
did it on Thursday.
We did it on Thursday, and we ended up buying a suitcase to fit it in.
And when did we start putting it on to try it out?
Well, I think, didn't we do a dress rehearsal the afternoon of the first show?
We did. The afternoon, it was probably, 1 p.m., 2 p.m.?
So you did all this on Thursday. Yeah, that's right. You got back very, very late Thursday night. We came in, the actors came in Friday, and we looked at the clothes that you'd got, and we went, okay, I'll try this one on, and you try this one on. So then we did a stumble through with all these new props and all these new costumes, and it went as well as it could go.
No, you guys did a very good job. I mean, I didn't feel like we were thrown in a way you could be with the wrong... easily could be thrown with the wrong props and costumes.
No, it was very, very close. And then we did the performance that night.
And the thing is, the audience is completely on your side, because at the beginning we should announce that our props and costumes have not arrived in Wuzhen yet. Mm-hmm. And so our people went to Shanghai and got stuff, and we're going to do the best we can and bear with us. Well, then everybody's instantly on your side.
Absolutely.
So when you come out looking ridiculous or something doesn't work, they completely understand.
Well, and then
the punchline is...
Yeah.
Almost as soon as we finished the curtain call from the first show, a van arrived with all of our own props. So for the second, what did we do, four shows?
Yeah.
So for the final three shows, we had our own stuff. So that's kind of the punchline.
Yeah, so we got to go back, but then we had to check it all again with all the real stuff.
We hung the drop.
Yeah, we didn't have scenery is the one thing we didn't have for
that's
the
right.
first show.
Well, we refocused a few lights, but most of the tech got to stay, but then you guys hadn't touched everything, and you two hadn't performed the Shakespeare show in... Because Dan had just done it in Reston.
I think it was Columbia, South Carolina, and probably...
Is that 11 or 12?
Yeah, maybe 11.
Yeah, it felt like a long time. I mean, it's funny that, you know, it was a long time, but it's funny how much of those moves and the lines are kind of in my bones.
It comes back. But then the other thing was the translations.
Yeah.
And so we had sent them a copy of the script so they could get it onto the TV screens. On
and also get it approved by the government.
Yes, it had to be approved. And so then it becomes sort of interesting. We not only you had the to be or not to be speech, you were struggling through it, but then you also learned how to say it in Chinese, which was a big hit.
That's right.
All these kind of adjustments are not in the script that we sent them.
Yeah, well, and then the Hamlet breakdown about to be or not to be is always about something pop culturally. We discovered that The Walking Dead is the show that everybody knows in China that I can have a breakdown on to be or not to be over. It was also weird because the monitors for the subtitles were on either side of the stage, so we're performing to an audience of people looking to our right and left.
Yeah, about 80% of them are looking off to the side, unless it's a physical bit, then they're looking at it. But I've thought several times about why did those subtitles not work in Japan and why did they work in China? And I think there was a high enough percentage of people who did understand English that they were laughing. And I may probably the translations were better, but I think there were enough people who were laughing instantly that told me, okay, this is going to work. Whereas in Japan, basically nobody was understanding us except for the subtitles.
Yes. No, and it was great. And I really hope we get to go back when I'm not heavily medicated.
Well, and it was fun also finding the other changes because Western social media is blocked on the mainland. So there's a reference to Google. Well, over there it's Baidu, so you have to make that change, and then they appreciate that you've noticed that.
Yeah.
In
fact, they probably won't be able to hear this podcast.
Maybe not. But it went so well, and because the organizers were from Taiwan, fingers crossed we'll be invited to go perform there, which would be great.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your replacement props and costumes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Better with Plum Sauce Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Kate Shafroth. I hope I said that right. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Stan Lai, artistic director of the Wuzhen Festival, who also pronounces Wuzhen so much better than I do. And we hope we get to come back to China soon. Also, very special thanks to all of you who responded to my eloquent begging last week and posted 5-star rankings and reviews of the podcast on the US and UK iTunes pages. I am so grateful and appreciative, and I have thrown all your names into the digital hat from which I pull my random fan shoutouts. And thanks very much to all of you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 418 1254ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And so now I need to ask the final question. Have our props and costumes returned yet?
No.
Oh, dear. All right, Allie, get on a plane. Go get them.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.